have the choir singing for us anymore on Sunday evenings, or not very often, not as often as they were. So the goal is that some of you will volunteer to sing special music on Sunday nights. I mean, families can do it, and so Dan mentioned that to me the other day, and I thought I'd throw that out there for you. Don't talk to me about it, talk to him about it. And but some of you want to sing a special song, we'd like to have it. If you want to have your family sing a special song, your families are encouraged to bring us special music. If you can't sing and you can't carry a note in a bucket, you know, don't volunteer to sing a special. You know, we don't want it to be painful. But if you do have that ability to sing, we really would like you and maybe your family to come and sing a little bit for us. Amen? I've only sang about two specials in my life. I sang one at the Easter Cantata last year just for a minute. And then I sang one other one time. Me and Ed Rice sang a song somewhere. Remember, you know Ed? Him and I did a song. He played his guitar and we sang. And I sang one verse and he sang the second verse. And then we sang the third verse together. He conned me into it. I probably wouldn't have done it, but that's what we did. So, Brother Ed, he's a good guy. Let's stand together. Let's read from Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 20. And we'll read to verse 31. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Now, if you've been in my Sunday school class, even though Paul knew what lay ahead of him with the bonds and the afflictions, Paul went to Jerusalem anyway. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Read verse 31. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would add your blessing on our message here tonight. It's simple. It's not all that long. But Lord, it's important for people to catch a vision. And I pray indeed we will catch a vision of lost souls perishing, people in desperate need of the gospel. And while they don't know it, the lost don't know it, we know it. We know they desperately need a Savior. And I pray tonight that you would help me through the Spirit of God and through the Word of God to convince the church, or at least some of the people in the church anyway, that we need to be out there telling others of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Where we began our reading in verse 20, Paul said, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Sometimes we go house to house. And I've tried to make this clear, but I really want 2020 to be a year when we increase our outreach ministries here at the church. Every ministry of the church ought to have outreach connected to it. I mean, winning souls to Christ. I mean, every one of them. There are many ways that we can reach people and how we reach out to the lost and how we reach out to a dying world. And all of them, I'm going to mention four, all of them are good ways. But you can start out here, where I'm going to start in just a moment, and you can just progress and progress and progress to where you'll get to where you are not ashamed to share the gospel of Jesus with anybody, anywhere, anytime. That's where we ought to get to. Now, let me just share with you a few ways to reach out to a lost and dying world. And I will say all of these are good. The first one is this. You can help souls come to Christ. Now, how can you help people come to Christ? Well, you can give them a gospel tract. You can give them a little booklet. You can give them a... We had a little booklet, but I think we're all out of them. But Gerald Fielder wrote it, and it had red cover, and it was just a little thing about like that. And it was a salvation. Remember that book, Bill? Do we got more? Well, make sure they're put on the track rack and take some of those. Brother Overton, the older Overton, senior, he called me up and said, do you have some of those? I said, I do, Brother. And why? He goes, can you mail me some? So I mailed him out 6 or 7. He likes to give those to people, so is a way to get the gospel to them. It is a good salvation message in there. You can take any gospel, anything that is out there in that area, and if you're going to give it to somebody, you just take it and give it to them. You say, well, do you want me to pay for it? No. If you want to pay for it, you can, but it's not mandatory. If you're going to give somebody the gospel, I think the church will eat the cost, don't you? Isn't it worth eating the cost of 50 cents for somebody to get the gospel? Oh, come on, we can do that. So you can do that. You can help in John and Romans. You can help two ways with John and Romans. You can pass them out, or you can assemble them. Every project just about that we do with John and Romans now is used by Baptist Couriers for Christ. And so we load up a container. For instance, we just sent the Bulgarian. Scott came Thursday morning early. Not real early, but early. And picked up the Bulgarian John and Romans that we had. They will be loaded on a container, and they will be shipped to Bulgaria. And our missionary over there, Danny Kessler, along with Nick Malucci, they will use those, and Baptist Curials will go over there, and they will help distribute those as well. That is a wonderful ministry to help win souls to Jesus. They bring people to Christ. By the way, many times when Baptist Couriers goes to a foreign country like that, we're working on German John and Romans now, but what they will do is they will assemble a missionary team. That's what Baptist Couriers does, 10, 12, 14 people. They'll all go over there at once. If you want to go on a good mission trip, that's somebody to go with. I will tell you that. Anyway, they'll go over to wherever the field is they're going. They'll take the team. They'll pass out all these John and Romans. They will invite people to church. They'll rent a building, and they'll have people come and meet them at that building. And they did one in Moldova, I think it was. They got this big building because it's all they could come up with. And it sat about 3,000 people. You know, they almost packed that thing out. God, it must have just been all providentially orchestrated by God, because they would have never thought to rent a building that big. But they had to have one that big. And then anybody that showed up, they promised to give them a whole Bible. Well, so many people showed up, they didn't have enough Bibles to give everybody. So what they did is everybody that received Jesus as their Savior, they gave them a whole Bible. And then when they left there after 3 weeks, they had established a church in that country and plugged the missionary in to be pastor of that church. So that's a great way to help people come to know Jesus. Which brings me to another way you can help. That is by supporting missionaries and missionary projects. Most of our missionaries are church planters. Not all of our missionaries are church planters. We support people like the CLA, the Christian Law Association. And don't be shocked if we don't have to use them more and more as the days go on, by the way. So we support mostly church planters, and you know what church planters do? They win people to Jesus, they disciple them, they get them baptized, they establish a church, and they do it all over again. Now, and then, here's how you can help right here. So you can do the tracts and the booklets and the John and Romans, you can give the missions, and here's the fourth way. You can do the survey that I introduced to the church a few weeks ago now, and I did it once myself, and you know what? It didn't offend anybody. Did you use it at all yesterday, Matt? Did you use it? Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot. How'd it work? Terrific. They shared the gospel 4 times yesterday, out door knocking. 4 times the whole gospel in 1 day. Would you say that's a good day? I'd say that's a good day. And they've got visits that one lady said, come back again. Because they didn't have a chance. They actually got 6 prospects yesterday. Now that's a good day. That survey is not offensive at all. It takes about 90 seconds to do, I think, if that's what I remember the time was when we did it here in church. It doesn't take long. But anybody can do that survey. You say, well, I'm not really comfortable leading somebody to Jesus. That's fine. You come back and somebody here, bring the address back and somebody here is comfortable and we'll go. So there's four quick ways that you can get involved in helping souls come to Christ. Then you can step it up a little bit. You get comfortable with that and you say, well, let me make another step. Well, then you can bring souls to Christ. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, by getting that lost people into the atmosphere of the gospel. And where's the best atmosphere of the gospel? Right here, the church. Church functions are nice. You can invite people to cantatas and things like that. You can invite them to our Easter cantata. That'll be coming up in April. But the fact of the matter is, you can just bring them to any worship service you want to. That brings people to Christ. This is my opinion. Would you say people know less and less Bible than they used to? Well, that's why sometimes people sit in church for 6, 7, 8 months before they get saved, because it's like, wow, this is all new to me. I had never heard this stuff before. And I started witness to an older gentleman last week. This poor gentleman is so confused. Now, he's come to our church the last 3 weeks in a row, and he is just he has been in every name of religion, and he's been in it. All of them. And it seems like he embraces a little bit of all of them. I mentioned what being born again was to him, or I asked him because I was reading from John 3. You know what he likened it to? Reincarnation. He thought it was when the body dies, the soul and spirit leave that body, and it's born again in another body or another thing somewhere else. Now, that's a confused individual. He's not going to get saved. I've already witnessed to him. He's not going to get saved the first time he's witnessed to. He's not going to get saved the first time he came to church. He's already been here 3 times. Get him under the ministry of the Word of God. Now, you can do something else along with that. You can bring them to church. What do you mean? I mean, pick them up in your vehicle and bring them to church. That used to be common. Not so much common anymore. You can bring them to revival meetings. You can grab them and pick them up and throw them in your van or your car, or if you got room, and bring them. But the fact of the matter is, never before do people need to be under the ministry of the Word of God. You can even go a little further than that, and you can help Bill with the van ministry. You could drive a van. You can visit on Saturdays. But those are great ways to bring people in. I'll tell you another way. You can do this with your neighbors. A lot of neighborhoods are not much of a community today. You know that? Everybody knows what's going on in their house, but outside of their yard, that's not really a community. It's kind of sad. Everybody used to know everything about everybody, which I don't know if that's all good or not either, but you can take that a little bit. But the fact of the matter is, we could build a rapport with our neighbors. You know, in the summertime, I told you this morning, Cuomo's made New York State so bad everybody's leaving, and winter's even leaving, right? So you can go out and barbecue. You could have barbecued yesterday outside. It was warm enough. So invite people over for a hamburger. Build a rapport with them. Let them get to know you. Let them be comfortable around you, and then you might develop a friendship with them or an acquaintance with them, a good acquaintance with them. And as you have them over and as they eat together and you eat with them, you know what? Invite them to church once in a while. Share a little gospel here and there with them once in a while. And you'd be surprised how you might help bring that person to Christ. Thirdly, you can lead a soul to Christ. You can help people to Christ, you can help bring people to Christ, and you can lead a soul to Christ. Now, how can you do that? Well, you can do that by pointing those who are already convicted. You can win people to Christ who are already convicted and they just need a little bit of guidance. Like, what do I got to do to get saved? Which is a wonderful thing to have people ask you. And you can do that. Now, these ones here that, just pointing somebody who's already convicted, these are the easy ones. You can give a little bit of guidance and a little bit of scripture to those already are all ready to get saved. And you know that? It's nice to get those every once in a while, I'll have to admit it. And then you can, now you've gone up and up and up, and then you can come to the fourth level, and we'll say you can be a soul winner. How can you be a soul winner? By persuading those who aren't even interested. Now take your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11. I mentioned building a rapport with people. You know, there are some people that you work with that nobody in this church will ever come in contact with them. You're it. You are God's light there. That's what you are. And you ought to be a good light there, by the way. But you are God's light there. And you might be the only opportunity they'll ever get to hear the gospel. We don't knock on everybody's door. Quite honestly, since the time I found a gospel tract on my door, I have never had a Bible-believing church or anybody ever knock on my door. I bet you I'm not the only one here that's had that experience. I have had some Jehovah's Witnesses, and I have had some Mormons, but I've never had a Bible-believing church knock on my door. Ever. And we don't knock every door. And we try to knock as many as we can. But let me just say this, a lot of hands makes light work. The more people come out, the more doors we knock. Anyway, you can persuade men. Look here what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Do you see that? We can be a persuader. In Acts 18 and verse 4, the Bible says that he reasoned in this synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. That was Paul who did that. And then in Luke 14, 23, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and then this is the word he used, and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Now, what is it to persuade? I looked it up in my Webster's 1828 dictionary, and it says to influence by argument, or to give advice, or to draw or incline the will to a determination by presenting motives to the mind. Such a motive would be, knowing the terror of the Lord, would be something like this. You know, if you don't trust Jesus as your Savior, you're going to end up in a devil's hell. That's a pretty good motive. I know some people that got saved because they just want to go to hell. And by the way, nobody really wants to go to hell. And if they really believed in it, they would get saved. But they don't. So you got to persuade them. In Acts 26, Paul had witnessed to Agrippa. And remember what Agrippa said? Almost thou persuadest me, but not quite. Now, by the way, if Paul couldn't win everybody that he witnessed to, don't be discouraged when you don't win everybody you witnessed to. Paul's probably a better soul winner than all of us combined. And he didn't win them all. So you can't let that discourage you. But we should do our best to persuade men of the truth of the gospel. And one of the ways is we should be travailing in prayer. Paul wrote to the church of Galatia. He said this, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Paul had such a passion for the churches. Labor in pain. It is, Strong says, it is to experience the pain. And he says, you pray earnestly because it pains you to see the condition of lost sinners. It really ought to pain us to see the condition of the lost. Isaiah said this, who hath heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. There ought to be some kind of travailing in our prayers. I gave you that little prayer card. You ever pray like it hurts? I mean, I mentioned this morning, when you're crying out to God, it just is painful. You can start out by helping souls to Christ by giving out tracts and giving money to missionaries, and you can bring people to Christ by picking them up and bringing them then and inviting them, and you can give guidance when you lead souls to Christ. But then you can persuade them and you can travail over them in prayer. Why do we want to go from helping somebody to that has a desire to persuading them to have a desire? Why do we push? Why such a push for souls? I'm going to give you a few things that I adopted from Buddy Murphy. And the first one, and he listed it just like this in his list, and he's got a long list, by the way. And here's the first one. Sinners are perishing. Somehow Christians need to get that into their head and into their heart. The Bible says in Revelation 20:15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast where? Into the lake of fire. That ought to bother you. It ought to bother me. In Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. They're damned. Lost people are perishing. John 3:36. Excuse me. The same chapter that has John 3:16, that for God so loved the world, says this about 20 verses later. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but what? The wrath of God abideth on him. Sinners are perishing. Secondly, love ought to constrain us. Paul said, for the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. The love of God ought to constrain us to try to reach people for Christ. Paul had love. He said in Romans 9, he said, for I could wish that myself were accursed for Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. A couple of weeks ago, I read from Jude, where he said, on some having compassion, making a difference. There ought to be a love. And that love ought to be compelling you to tell people about Jesus. Thirdly, we're commanded to. Quite honestly, that ought to be enough. But in Acts 1:8, it says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. And in Matthew, when Jesus was calling his disciples and apostles, he said, he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you to be what? Fishers of men. Now listen, every fishing trip does not always yield fish. But I have a theory in life. A bad day fishing is better than a good day working, all right? So it's fine. My youngest son, Darren, he loves to fish. And somebody was asking about fishing. Darren says, I don't care if I catch fish when I go fishing. I just like to fish. I just like to be out there fishing. Now, I'm not at that level. I like to catch fish. I mean, I do. To me, that's, you know, some guys will fish all day hoping they get one bite. I mean, like from sun up to sundown. And they're looking for one bite to catch that special fish. And they'll just fish all day. Man, I fish 2 hours. If I don't have a bite, I'm out of there. I'm going to go do something else. But some days you might go door knocking and you might witness to people and you might do it all day. And maybe you ought to wait for that one bite and just keep going. So we are commanded to. Fourthly, our position urges us. Now, Paul said, now then we are something for Christ. What are we? Ambassadors. That's our position. Do you know what an ambassador does? He is a representative of another country. We don't represent earth. We represent heaven. And we represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are ambassadors. And we're supposed to be good ambassadors. Fifthly, we have a responsibility. Paul said again in Romans 1, he said, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and unwise. I am a debtor. I have a debt to these lost souls. And then the laborers are few. Jesus said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. We would like to have more laborers, a higher percentage of people out getting the gospel out. And then, just let me say this again. The gospel is nothing to be ashamed of. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Listen, the gospel's good for everybody. Here's something you might want to think about. Hell actually requests us to come. Then he said, I pray, this is in Luke 16, I pray thee therefore, Father, he was in hell, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. He said, look it, I don't want my brethren to come here. This is a terrible place of torments. I don't want them. Send somebody. That request came from hell itself. Heaven encourages it. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Listen, God wants us to go. Doesn't the Bible say something like this? There is rejoicing in heaven over one soul. One. Just one. And then, here's a verse you know. Wisdom calls us to do it. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, but he that winneth souls is wise. Wisdom calls us to do it. And I'd like to think that our conscience demands it. In Sunday school, we talked a little bit about a conscience. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. And then he says this, and I speak this to your shame. It's our responsibility, and our conscience speaks to us and shames us that, we should tell people. Let me give you just a few more. Jesus is the example. Remember what the Bible said? He said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Do you remember the passage in John 4 where Jesus went to Samaria? And it says he must needs go through Samaria. Why did he feel like he must go through Samaria? That woman at the well, man. She needed to hear the gospel. He led her to himself. She led most of the town, evidently, to her, to Jesus. And that's the way it ought to work, by the way. But anyway, so Jesus set an example for us. And then Paul demonstrated it in the chapter that we started with, and go back there, the Acts chapter 20. You see, do you remember what he said? Verse 20. And now I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Paul said, let me show you how to do this. And he went house to house. Verse 26. He said, wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Paul went house to house. He realized he had a serious responsibility there. And then in verse 31, it said, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. See his compassion? So Jesus set an example. Paul demonstrated it. And also the early church adopted it. Go back to chapter 5 in Acts. Verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And then turn a page to Acts 8, or two pages. Verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Who were they that were scattered abroad? They were the persecuted churches, Christians that had left Jerusalem. And it didn't shut them up. Everywhere they went, once they were scattered, they went out preaching the gospel. Now, that was the spirit of the early church, witnessing and preaching. Every circumstance they saw as an opportunity to tell somebody the gospel of Jesus. Persecutions added fuel to their soul-winning fire. They adopted soul-winning way of life, and may God help us to adopt it as our way of life. And to do so in our church as well. And so I'll go back to where I started. All of our activities, all of our classes, everything that we do should have a flavor of evangelism and reaching out to the lost, trying to win them to Jesus all the time. But let me encourage you to get involved in, start out by just handing out gospel tracts, inviting people to church, and, then you can bring them and you can get involved in John and Romans and you can do missions giving and all that stuff to where you might become comfortable just sharing the gospel. You can all come out and do a survey. I mean, it really is a piece of cake. And people, it doesn't offend anybody. And the ones that I've done it on, I never had one person tell me, I don't want to answer those questions. Never one. Haven't done a lot. Haven't used it a lot. But it started out working pretty good. I pray you will. I pray you catch a vision for winning souls to Jesus. Father, as we come to you collectively as a church, but always as individuals, would you give us a burden for souls? I mean, would you give us a passion so that when we pray, we can pray literally, we can pray believingly, knowing that with you nothing is impossible and that you will save sinners. We can pray that way. Lord, we can ask you to quicken people, to make them a spiritually alive to truth of the gospel. We can ask you to tear down the strongholds in their life, and we can ask you to save sinners. And then we can get up off our knees
after we're done praying, and we can go out and we can do the work of the ministry. And I pray that you would help us and burden us to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I will be honest. I thought about giving an invitation right there. But then I thought this. If you're really serious about it, we'll see you out doing evangelism work. You can seal it later on if you want to. But if you're serious about it, you'll come on out and help us. You'll take some gospel. Just take gospel tracts wherever you go. You know, half of you, probably maybe more, are going to go through a coffee shop somewhere sometime this week, at least once. You know, give the person a gospel tract. Some of you, bless your heart, you're going to end up in Walmart at least once this week. God help you. But anyway, you're going to end up there, and you can give the lady that waits on you a gospel tract, or the guy, or whoever it is, and you can invite him out to church. You're going to go into a store somewhere, you can do the same thing. It doesn't matter where you are. You can always... I've been praying that God makes us soul conscious, that when you, wherever you are, when you look out there, you see people that need Jesus. All right, ushers, if you'll come, I want to make a few announcements.